Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Hits keep coming on this Friday, man. Happy to be joined by our 1320 Kings insider and host of the Locked On Kings podcast, our man James Hamm, fresh from a Kings practice today before they head off to play a very interesting Los Angeles Clippers team. Hammer, I guess there's a couple of things of note to talk about from practice today. But the first one, not only was Dylan Cardwell back at practice, but you guys got an opportunity to talk to him.
Yeah, he just couldn't stop smiling. I think one of the interesting things is I looked down and he was wearing two pretty bulky ankle braces on one on each ankle. And it was like, what are you doing there? And he's like, well, I usually wear an ankle brace, but it was a rookie mistake and I didn't wear one that day. And I don't know if he wears one every game, but he had decided against wearing an ankle brace and then rolled his ankle and then was like, well, that was a rookie mistake. When they let everybody in early, which everybody amounted to Deuce and Mo, to be honest with you. So when I got there like 5 minutes early, there was no one in the media area, so I went straight in to the court and Deuce and Mo were the only ones, and a Kings.com employee. And we were watching, we got to watch a little bit of, they weren't playing game, they were playing like a half quarter, they're playing like a really quick offensive game where they're just trying to get through some sets really quick. And Cardwell had a couple of like monster dunks. So he looks really good, and I actually saw him on game night. He ran by and was all sweaty. Clearly he'd been working out, and it was just good to see him back on the court. And I expect we don't know if he'll play tomorrow. There's a good chance he'll play tomorrow, but okay. If not tomorrow, Sunday, I would say they might hold him out tomorrow because of the back to back and let him play the next day. But he's getting super close to a return. He was shooting 18-foot jump shots and hitting most of them, which I thought was interesting. We asked him what he's been working on since he hasn't been able to run up and down the court. And he said he's been shooting thousands of free throws.
Oh,
which is great to hear.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Terrific. 'Cause he's a bad free throw shooter.
Yeah.
That's good.
Dylan seems like every time you post something of him, whether it's at practice or I know he spoke at the podium at least once. I don't know how many times he did it during that run. He seems like a genuinely fantastic human being.
Yeah, and I will continue to say this. This group of players, and I would say the last 5 years of players, absolutely phenomenal human beings. Mm-hmm. All kinds of good dudes in the locker room. You know, again, I've said it a bunch about Precious Achiuwa. Everyone who comes through, even like, you know, again, we talked to Killian Hayes, and he just said, I just really enjoy this group of players. It's just been a really good time. They've been really welcoming. And that's something that you continue to hear, even during the bad times. Like, I think there was a little bit of dissension at some point when things started to spin out early in the season. But once everybody kind of understood that that's where this season was heading, all of that quieted down. And I do believe that this is a good group. And, you know, that's not to say that I've covered like the worst human beings ever. But there's been some times in the locker room where it's been a little different and a little you know, like just guys with big egos or guys that are, you know, you can tell like the locker room itself isn't healthy where they don't all get along. And, you know, again, I can go back to like the DeMarcus Cousins, Jason Thompson and Dante Green beef. Like there was beef like in the locker room. Like you could see it all the time where there was tension from one side of the room to the other. And this set of people, like this group, just they do like each other. They're having a good time, not losing, but a good time being around each other, and especially during a long season.
I tried to convey it as best I could from your Twitter account, but since we're talking about, you know, fantastic human beings, can you share the DeMar DeRozan story from the other night against Charlotte?
Yeah. So, and like, look, there was one guy on Twitter who like, oh, like I was throwing shade at LaMelo. I wasn't throwing shade at LaMelo. Like, LaMelo is like a very, very strange, like cult hero with the Utes.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't quite understand the cult hero-ness of him, but I will tell you, like, I went to a volleyball tournament last year and half of the kids in the gym had the LaMelo Ball haircut. And I'm talking every race, everybody, every type of hair. You know, a bunch of white kids with perms, with lines cut in the side. And you're just like, what is happening here? And my oldest was sending me like, this is a LaMelo. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm confused because as someone who was on the interview with the media during the pandemic, when LaMelo did his media like circuit, was just like, okay, this is, I don't get the appeal. Like he doesn't talk. He wouldn't say a word. And the few words that he did say weren't insightful. And it was like, I will put him in like the bottom two interviews in the history of all the draft picks and all the players I've ever interviewed. So I'm confused why he has this draw. Go ahead.
It was, remember he was essentially a reality star, you know, the stuff with his family. Like he has been in the national spotlight since he was like 15 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. He's been, I mean, probably before that, because that's when he started like playing in Lithuania and Poland when he was 15 and 16. His brothers, you know, of course, with all the fame and then bringing the fame to the family and all that stuff. I get a little bit of that, but I've never watched my kids watch reality TV like that.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, I'm just kind of like confused how it's so universal. But to get back to the story at hand, and this is not to throw shade at LaMelo at all, like this specific situation. Maybe I just threw shade at LaMelo talking about him not being a great interview, but he was on the court on one end doing his thing. And so people understand this is a weird nuance that people might not know. The visiting team gets to choose which basket they warm up on. So some teams, and especially anyone who worked for the Spurs, they like to steal the home team's side, which is usually by their bench. So the far end of the court from the visiting bench and the visiting locker room. So LaMelo was over there shooting shots and doing his pregame warm-up. And on the other side, I was sitting with Scott Moak, and Scott Moak's kids were there, and we were just kind of hanging out watching DeMar. And it's miraculous to watch DeMar warm up because he's not like in full speed or anything else, but the ball doesn't touch the net. He's just one of the greatest shooters in the mid-range that we've ever seen in the league, and especially now where the mid-range has gone away. But DeMar was warming up by himself with a couple of the assistant coaches and stuff like that. And LaMelo was on the far end. There was a kid sitting on the baseline right next to DeMar holding, and he wasn't probably 8 or 9, and he's holding up a LaMelo number one jersey. So at one point, the kid turns to look at something, and that's when LaMelo comes running down the court, and he turns back, and I don't even think LaMelo saw him. And then LaMelo went in the tunnel, and we couldn't see the tunnel, but LaMelo signed autographs in the tunnel, but not for this kid who is literally waiting the whole time, hoping to get his jersey signed. And what I watched was DeMar saw LaMelo run by, and then he sees the kid standing there and like the disappointment. And he flicked the ball to the ball boy and walked over and had a moment with the kid. And he puts his arm around the kid and they take pictures. And, you know, the kid and his dad are sitting there, and it was just this really nice moment. And then he goes to leave the court after that, and he stops and he takes pictures with someone else at like mid court, and then ran back to the locker room. I'm sure he signed some autographs on the way out, but it just showed you again that like that he's a pro's pro, and that he was actually in the moment seeing something that he thought like, oh no, that's going to ruin this kid's night. And instead the kid had a great moment. And that's something that, you know, it's super commendable. And a lot of the Kings players are good at this, but it was just a moment that we watched happen. And again, it wasn't that LaMelo did something wrong. It was just that DeMar did something right.
Yeah.
He caught a moment and he went over and did something right. And we even asked him about it. I asked him about it after the game. And it's like he's going to miss these moments. He knows he doesn't have a lot of time left as a player, whether it's, you know, this year or one more year or two more years, whatever it might be. But these are things that you'll miss when it's gone. And he's just a hooper. He loves the game, and he loves being part of the NBA and part of the experience. And it was just a really cool moment to watch play out.
and he scored 39 that night. He scored 39 and took 1-3 and missed it. Like, that is such an incredible, like, DeMar DeRozan thing, to score 39 points, take 1-3 and miss it. And I know some Kings fans have taken exception to, you know, DeMar DeRozan, Russell Westbrook in this lost season, continuing to move up different all-time lists. And I don't have a problem with it, because it gives us something exciting to watch. And watching, and I also believe that guys like Russell Westbrook and DeMar DeRozan deserve that opportunity. They came to Sacramento to play basketball. They should be afforded the opportunity to play basketball, even though this season hasn't necessarily gone the way that anybody has hoped or envisioned it to.
Yeah, I totally agree. And your point about the three-point shot, this is something that stood out. DeMar's hit 1 3-pointer in the last 10 games. 1 total. He's only taken a total of 8 in the last 10 games. Wow. That's something, like, we were on the other day, and I can't remember his name, that was in the chat that got under my skin.
It's Kareem.
Man. Like, but the thing that gets under my nerves is this idea that we're creating narratives. Like, we're not creating narratives. We're getting through one of the most brutal seasons of all time. We're not making excuses. I told Russell Westbrook that this is the worst season I've ever covered. Mm-hmm. He wanted to know my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, I've covered this team for 16 years, cover the league forever. And, like, this is the worst season I've ever seen of Kings basketball. Gone to the next person. You don't want to hear someone that was willing to just say it straight and blunt. Like, we're not sugarcoating this, but it doesn't mean that we have to walk into every single situation and be so incredibly negative about everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Like, we should be sitting here talking about the fact that Max Reno just blocked 8 shots in the last 3 games. And I don't know exactly how many block shots he has on the season. I can probably look it up while we're talking. But the fact is that he's going out there and showing us something different. He's working on some aspect of his game. And it's all of a sudden reaping benefits. He had 25 block shots through the first 56 games. And now in the last 3, he's got 8. Mm. So he's making improvements. He's learning. And even like today, when we got to the Dylan Cardwell interview, I asked Dylan straight up, like, have you talked to Max about blocking shots? Have you talked to Max about, you know, like, what you do and what he does and how the both of you are so different, but you might be able to help each other? And he said, absolutely, like, we have. But I think with blocking shots, people need to understand, like, either you're a shot blocker or you're not. It's a timing issue. And it's so difficult to become a shot blocker. Like, he can get better at being at blocking shots, but he's never going to be someone that you fear. And people are starting to fear Dylan Cardwell. They do. They fear because, number one, his verticality is crazy. Like, his ability to go straight up underneath the basket with 2 hands and just, like, stuff people or make it impossible for them to get to the basket, it's wild. And Max is never going to be that. And, you know, Dylan said, yeah, I started blocking people when I was in, like, 5th grade. Like, and if you play basketball, if you've ever, like, played lots of basketball, it doesn't have to be a tall guy to block shots. In fact, there are a lot of tall guys who just aren't good at blocking shots. Mm-hmm. It can be just a super athlete, or it can be someone who's got big hops, or it can be someone who just flat out has great timing. And Malik Monk has great timing. De'Aaron Fox, chase down block, great timing. Max is going to have to learn, and it's just a process. Again, he can get better. We saw, I think the prime example is Jermaine O'Neal, who was like a decent shot blocker early in his career. Then he went and hung out with Hakeem Olajuwon for a summer and came back and was blocking everything. And it was incredible to watch. And it was specifically that he was doing something or not doing something as he set up. He was keeping his hands too low, learned to get his hands up high and be ready to go up and block a shot. And it made a huge difference in his ability to do that. But I just think it's we're not creating a narrative here. We're just telling you what's happening. And we can't just sit here and say, oh, well, you know, so-and-so missed 8 shots tonight and that's it. That's the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Or no one wants to tune in. Nobody wants to, you know, watch or anything else. So I don't know. To me, it's definitely nice to see players still improving this deep into the season.
I'm Emma Grade, host of Aspire with Emma Grade, a podcast where I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From culture-shaping voices like Mel Robbins to leaders redefining success like Tracy Ellis Ross to game-changing entrepreneurs like Mark Cuban, Aspire is about mindset, ambition, and doing the work that actually moves the needle. If you're ready to raise your standards and take charge about the life and career you're building, Aspire is where you start. Follow and listen to Aspire with me, Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast available wherever you get your podcasts.
Try to find things in each game because I genuinely do not enjoy watching Kings basketball this year. And I don't think that's a unique thought process for anybody listening or watching this. But I have things that I like. Obviously, I love watching Russell Westbrook. But from a younger player perspective, I really enjoyed watching Nick Clifford. And I've tried to focus on him during games and think about what he does really well and just watch his game from a different standpoint of winning, losing, scoring, rebounding. And it seems like he is the most active player on the floor on a night-to-night basis where he is involved in every play on both ends in one way or another.
Yeah, to me, really, if you have the ability to just isolate a player and step back and watch, especially when you're in the arena, like when you're watching on TV, they do too many close-ups, too many like specific angles that make it very difficult to isolate a single player. If you sit back and just go, okay, I'm just going to watch him for like 5 minutes and see what happens. He is super active. He's one of those players that, you know, if you put like the tracker on him, he's probably running more miles than everybody else. And to watch him be able to go, I think it was 38 minutes on Tuesday and 41 minutes on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a kid who has just doubled up his college career. And now, hey, by the way, we're getting to this stage. We need you to play that many minutes. And not only, I think it's interesting because when you're playing 12 minutes, there's like a task at hand. You go out there, you play defense as hard as you can, you dive on the floor, you do all of these things, you're flying in everywhere because you know that you're only going to play like 2 6-minute blocks in the game. So you better give it your all or you're going to get yanked. When you bump up to 24 minutes, you can kind of do a little bit less, but that's because you're conserving energy. Like you're going to put more energy into one thing than you are another. When you get up to playing 38, 40 minutes, that means that, man, don't ask for a sub because there's not one coming. So that's where you start to learn just how to be in the moment for the entire game and how to sit there and continuously do the little things that matter and try to stay focused. And that's why you have games like what he's having where some nights it's a little off, you know, he doesn't take enough shots or he's just not scoring enough or not grabbing enough rebounds. But then other games where, you know, the other night he was in like his 88th minute or something or his 79th minute in the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. And he scored 5 minutes in the last minute and a half of the game. And you're like, look at that. He figured out how to have legs in that moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, he also has to figure out that in the third quarter, he might not be able to shoot a three because he doesn't have the legs to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is part of growing up and being part of basketball. And it's funny because we talked to Doug about it and we saw a game where Doug was playing for Toronto and the Raptors only had 8 players to start the game. And Doug played all 48 minutes and he finished with like 29 points. Martinez read this off. It was 29 points, 15 rebounds, and 8 steals. And they won with 8 players, with Christie playing 48 minutes. And that in itself is such a learning experience for a young player. What he just went through is just another learning experience that he can put in his portfolio that he can carry with him into the summer. And it might not mean a whole lot to people, but it's certainly not a narrative. It's just what happened on the court.
You mentioned Killian Hayes earlier. You and I have talked about him. Do we have an update on him? Like, is he going to Los Angeles tomorrow? do we know the time frame of Killian Hayes' second 10-day contract?
Yeah, so Sean and I were talking about this, Sean Cunningham from KCRA3 and the Kings beat. We were sitting in the media area after practice and I was like, I want to say it was Friday, and then Sean looked it up and it was Thursday. So we did the math. So yesterday was day 7. Today's day 8. Day 9 is Saturday where they have a game, and day 10 is Sunday when they have a game.
Oh, wow.
So Killian Hayes should be able to play the next two games, and then we don't know what happens to him after that.
And given the state of the guard position, I don't know how much of that has changed. Do we know if Malik practiced? I assume Devin didn't. Did Russ?
Okay, so Russ did practice, and so did Malik. Russ has been cleared to play tomorrow. Malik has not yet, and so they're still determining whether he's going to play. Devin Carter did not practice and likely will not play this weekend. He rolled his ankle, but then in the last 6 seconds, he told us that he hurt his shin. And so he's got some sort of, like, I saw him going into the elevator last night, and he had a big wrap all the way up his leg, or like a sleeve on his, I think it's his right leg. And I'm going to say there's a very high possibility that he doesn't play this weekend. And hey, that could change the direction of Killian Hayes.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, to be honest, it could change the direction of Killian Hayes' career. Like, I don't know that in the last 15 games of the season, Killian Hayes is going to have some like miraculous turnaround in his shooting. But if he does have an opportunity here and he does get comfortable, there is a chance that like he's able to resuscitate his career and make himself into a viable NBA player. And I think part of it is getting comfortable and being around NBA players again. But, you know, the Kings have to make a decision because you're not allowed to sign a guy to a third 10-day contract. Mm-hmm. So you only get two 10 days, and then the Kings do have an extra roster spot, which Killian is currently taking up because a 10-day contract actually eats one of your roster spots. So they have to decide, though, if they're going to give that a rest of the year contract to Killian, or if they're going to give a rest of the year contract to a guy like Daquan Plowden. And I talked about this the other day. If you do give a contract right now, you typically would be like a multi-year league minimum deal. So if you're going to keep Daquan and be like, you could give him an offer of like a 3-year deal, but the next 2 years are non-guaranteed and they're team options and the team can waive him. But then it allows him to stay in the building all summer long and work out, be part of the summer league team, get paid for all of that, be part of training camp and all of that stuff, while retaining, you know, health insurance and everything else in case something happens while he's in.
Oh, that's amazing. We got a hand freeze literally in the final set. Oh, unofficial. That was not a hand freeze. Kicked out at the last minute. Wow. That's right. In wrestling, that's called a false finish. Great job, James.
Hey, guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least 4 shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.